Welcome to today's South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations conference call. Participation in this call is by express invitation of SDAHU only. Unauthorized participants and or any party that aids and abets such unauthorized participants may be subject to criminal and civil penalties under both state and federal law. Please disconnect from the call if SDAHU did not expressly invite your participation. A question and answer session will follow the presentation, and instructions for asking questions will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Scott Dew.
Thank you, operator, and thanks, everyone, for taking time today for the call. Joining me today, and Deborah and I, and Pierre is Deb Fisher-Clemens, Rivera, and Mike Dietrich, from Regional Health. Thanks for joining us today. So I'll do a quick federal update, all the things that are happening in D.C., and then Deborah will kind of come back and do a state wrap-up for where we're sitting right now, about halfway through the session, and then we'll be open for questions. So I'll start with the calendar. What's happening today, of course, Congress is in both bodies, but will be adjourning, at least the House will, for the remainder of the week as they'll be going off to the Democratic retreat. The Senate will stay in session through the end of the week and is considering primarily nominees on cabinet positions. And I'll touch base on that in just a minute. But the Democratic retreat will be held the remainder of the week. Then next week, both houses will be in session and then be out the week of the 20th for the president's holiday, but returning the 27th for the entire month of March, give or take a Friday or a Monday, and then we'll work up until April 10th, actually, and be gone for a couple weeks around the Easter holiday break. So, again, more activity in terms of presence, and at least we're seeing more right now in the form of executive orders. And so transitioning to that, a couple things out of Washington and then with what's happening out of the White House. So just right as we speak, Secretary of Education nominee Betsy Voss was approved, actually through what is being said to be a historic vote. Vice President Pence had to cast a deciding vote in a rather contentious nomination overall process and hearing nominee DeVos. The Democrats actually staged a 24-hour debate-a-thon, which started yesterday at noon and went through today. And again, you can see that there is a fair bit of contention that's happening around the nominees for cabinet positions. Health and Human Secretary HHS Representative Price is likely, as I said last week, to get approval. But what we're hearing right now is this may be as late as Friday at midnight or 1 in the morning. So, again, what does this bode for us in terms of where we're at? Some of the things that are happening on the president's side, the quote, travel ban that's not a ban, which includes visas for travel occurring over the next 90 days. Of course, you've probably all seen now that it's on injunction, but it is likely we're being told that the president's broad authority around jurisdiction of governing the borders will allow that 90-day ban to stand. That's at least the best we're hearing out of Washington, but stay tuned because it's likely to be not only heard today, but then there'll be an appeal, maybe even to the Supreme Court. Of course, what's of important interest to both our members here in South Dakota, but across the country, is that, as an example, this is specifically impacting more than 14,000 physicians who would be traveling from those seven countries and other healthcare workers. You've seen these coalitions that have been formed up by different sectors of the economy, and certainly a lot of the jobs are being impacted by this, but real people lives are being impacted by this. So we're taking kind of the approach of let us know as you're hearing concerns about this so that we can pass that on to the folks in Washington as we look at what's going to happen with both this executive order and some of the other ones. Of course, on the favorable side to the way we look at things, the executive order around regulations and the two-for-one trade-off, and those are moving forward, and we do support that. We've shared the AHA list, and specific priorities are being developed from a member, SEDAHO member standpoint, that we will continue to work with the Trump administration and our congressional delegation all the way through the Hill visits that we'll be making coming up in May. So look for that survey to come out. In addition, the Trump administration has been working with some of the health insurance side of things, health insurers, to work on some of the underwriting rules that would inhibit enrollment in the ACA. This is the so-called tightening around the margins. And what you will likely see coming out of D.C. soon will be expanding of ratios, shrinking of enrollment periods, allowing more flexibility. All of this makes it more difficult to enroll in and for the enrollment in the marketplace. We'll be having a story on our website later today that's going to talk about the numbers in South Dakota. The latest numbers we see as of the 31st of January were actually up over last year, and we're pushing close 29,000-plus enrollees. I think last year around 26,000. But across the country, enrollment in the marketplace was actually down. So look for that story, and again, stay tuned to how those numbers through this year, but then over the work that's going to happen in the repeal, replace, and repair of the ACA are going to impact those enrollees. Just on that piece, Speaker Ryan, of course, is using more the repair nomenclature. If you didn't hear Trump's interview with O'Reilly, had him saying, I believe that it would take more than a year, maybe a year to 2 years, to kind of repeal. Now that's a change in rhetoric from we're going to do it immediately. But others like Speaker Ryan and Representative Kevin Brady, Chair of House Ways and Means, are still saying that they want it done sooner. And we're also starting to hear from conservative kind of far-right groups who are weighing in with saying, look, you promised us that you would repeal this, Republican leadership. Why aren't you getting it done? And you're likely going to start seeing some ads pop up to kind of help push that process along. So on that, I'm going to touch a little bit on the Medicaid, but it just out of Washington, you can see this contentiousness. And in the midst of all of that, a little update on pharma. If you haven't heard or read, pharma has been touting that they're going to do this $100 million ad campaign. That's begun now. That ad campaign, amongst other things, is targeting around performance-based pricing, which is their answer to what has been our message of price gouging that we certainly believe is occurring, and there's been a lot of incidents and examples of that. And we're also messaging this, that the record shows that pharma spends more than twice as much on advertising as they do around research, which is where all of that performance price basing is going to go. And then kind of a wrap up then on the most important, you know, the issue of Medicaid, and again, what we don't know yet, but what we do know so far is from a strategy perspective, AHA, and we were on a call last Friday within the association with other state execs. We're working to solidify our principles statement, which will really talk to our congressional delegation and all members of Congress on the positions that are important to us. As soon as we get that in a frame that we can share it, we will be sharing that with everyone. It won't be new, but we're trying to time it just right so that we don't get overly prescriptive either in terms of what comes out, the part we don't know, and then where we can seek to impact those changes as they emerge. Just as a reminder, approximately $72 billion is in play in the 31 states who expanded Medicaid. And, of course, those states are looking and they're talking to each other about what are the impacts. Governor Dugard and his team here has been engaged. We have a coalition, South Dakota Health Solutions Coalition, meeting tomorrow, and that will be the governor's and his team's testing ground against when these issues and changes come about. And ongoing national webinars and calls are occurring, so watch for those details as they come out through the various mediums and our website. So let me stop there on the federal side, and there may be some questions later, and I'll turn to Deborah Owen, who's been kind of monitoring everything here in Pierre.
Thank you so much, Scott, and welcome, everyone. Just to let you know, as Scott said, we are calling from Pierre, but we actually are on the fourth floor of the Capitol, so we're right where all the action's been going on this morning. Let's talk a little about the legislative calendar, and then we'll talk about some current and future issues. And so I just wanted to start with the legislative calendar. We are entering the fifth week, which is kind of the midway point for session. We have 4 weeks left of what we would call the main run, and then veto day would be March 27th. Just a reminder that we have four-day weeks here, so we started, of course, on Monday of this week, and it will not be in session on Friday of this week. The deadline was last week for the new bills has passed. It was an exception for appropriation bills, but generally speaking, all of the new bills are in. That's 388 bills this year. That's about almost 40 bills less than last year, which is a significant amount, especially if you're reading them. The G bill is out, and that's Senate Bill 175, and that's been posted up. That's the governor's bill. We call it the G bill. But just also to let you know that, as always, even though all the new bills are in, we have a device that we call hogging a bill, that's a hog housing of bill, which you can actually take a bill in its current form, strip the language out, put in new language, and then you can amend the title. So even though all of new bills are done, we can reuse, kind of like that secondhand rose, we can use those bills, and sometimes your opponents will and sometimes the proponents will. So you're always trying to pay a special attention now because things happen quickly from here on out. Crossover day, which is the House of Origin day, or the day when bills are complete, all the House bills must cross over the rotunda, if you will, to go to the Senate and then vice versa. That is 2 weeks out, so we are getting close to that. The House has a long agenda, so we'll still be having some late nights, I suspect, next week and perhaps the night of the week after. Okay, so for current issues, just to let you know, Senate Bill 5, which was the revocation of those nursing home beds to the Department of Health, that we killed last week, and that was part of the public Policy Council's position, so it was great to deliver a good kill on that bill. Well-meaning, but we just don't think it really solved the ultimate problem. On that same note, House Bill 1003 was killed in the House, and that was a 53-16 vote, so there's almost no mercy with killing that bill. That was a little more damaging. That was where those rural or nursing homes could actually sell those nursing home beds to any willing person who would want to purchase them. And there were just some concerns about unintended consequences. I do want to say that Steinhauer and the committee, the interim summer committee that worked on those bills, those were well-meaning, trying to help bring more money to an area within the field of healthcare that is really challenged because the provider reimbursements are too low. So we'll continue to work with those folks to try to bring out an answer that can really help and impact in a positive way those long-term care facilities and home health and others. Senate Bill 61, which was the advanced practice registered nurses, that came out of the House Health this morning, 8-5. That has one more vote before it goes to the governor's desk, and that will be on the House floor sometime in this week or the next. Again, the House agenda is backed up a bit, so I'm not sure when that vote will be specifically, but it was a well-attended hearing. If you would have come to attend and you didn't come early, you wouldn't have had a seat. They were throughout the entire committee room and out in the hallway. All of us lobbyists were out in the hallway, of course, wanting to make sure those that were traveling got the best seats. But it was well done and a good conversation there. House Bill 1058, speaking of hogging bills, that was hogged this Monday and added the entire language of the bill by actually the bill sponsor. And this is a bill that is really, it's the full intent, honestly, by the drafters, is to remove health insurance plans from hospitals because they believe there's an inherent conflict of interest. The hearing on that bill will be tomorrow. Scott Duke will be testifying on behalf of Sadaho, and we have an entire lineup of willing folks who will be advocating against that bill. It's very harmful to the industry, I think. We've all been working behind the scenes long before session started, Avera and Sanford especially, working to try to help the drafters understand why this is a bad bill and why it's bad for South Dakota. And so we're continuing to do this fight, and we'll carry it through. We're hoping for a strong vote tomorrow, but if it's not, we'll continue on with our advocacy efforts to put this, what we think may be well-meaning, but certainly a bad idea, to bed. So. Also, the Public Policy Council met last week. I also want to, those who are on this phone who are from the Public Policy Council, it's chaired by our board chair, Kurt Holman. Just Such a special thanks to you. These folks meet every week for at least an hour since session began. We have another 4 weeks left. We'll be through the halfway point, but they do take up and consider and discuss all of the bills that we think affect our members, and they take positions on them. And so it's really a labor of love, and we appreciate all of you who serve. I just want to touch on a couple of bills that we took support of. Would be House Bill 1104, and that really is just to raise the motor vehicle liability insurance requirements from 25 to 50 and from 50 to 100 for the various reasons. It hasn't been raised in about a decade, but more importantly, some of the folks who these settlements or these monies go to need health care, and so that is why we're supporting that in short. And then there's a number of bills that we're looking to monitor, and we'll report on more next week when we know more about them. About seven of those that the Public Policy Council has reviewed and discussed. I want to talk a little bit about the midwifery bill, which we are continuing to work on in terms of putting it in the best of shape that we can to, in case they have the votes to prevail this year. We think they probably do, but we have worked for several months and will continue to work on one last amendment, which would be the definition of a low-risk mother-baby unit. We believe by broadening the definition, we can narrow the number of mothers who would be able to have an intended home birth by a certified professional midwife, a non-nurse midwife, and we're working and negotiating with the proponents of that bill as well. That's about all I have. Oh, I wanted to remind you, all district meetings, and in 2 weeks, it's February 21st, the governor is going to come speak to our group. Along with, we're going to have a reception with legislators, so if you haven't reserved your room, please take a look at that. I know we've sent out invites and notices on that, but please make a moment or take some time to come up here and visit with your legislators. It's so important to our advocacy efforts and our success there. And then also to remind you, there are some Cracker Barrels this weekend. Sioux Falls has one at 10 o'clock at the Ramada. Aberdeen has one at 10 o'clock at Northern State University, and Watertown is at 9 at the Winter Farm Show Fieldhouse. So thank you so much, and back to you, Scott.
Great. Thank you, Deborah. And let's just go ahead and move right to questions, operator, so we'll do that now.
Thank you. And at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, press 0, followed by a 1 on your touch-tone phone. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you have a question, press 0, followed by a 1 now. Please hold for a moment as our system compiles the responses. As a reminder, you may also make a comment by pressing 01 now. At this moment, we do not have any questions in the queue.
That's great, and we appreciate everybody taking the time. Thank you again, and operator will end the call now. Thanks.
Thank you all for your attention. This concludes today's conference call. All participants may now disconnect.